Adam Andrzejewski is the CEO and founder, I believe, of OpenTheBooks.com. And that sounds like a great thing, doesn't it? OpenTheBooks.com. Let's see what's in. The problem is then you see what's inside the books and you want to pull your hair out. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Great, Matt. Thanks for having me on the program.
Thanks very much for jumping on. We saw this article about a week ago. I think Tom and I were talking about this. You know, my wife is a public school teacher, and when we had triplets long ago, she stopped teaching for a while and then went back part time. And I've always been like, "You gotta go. You gotta get your classroom back. You gotta earn towards that pension." And then I read these numbers and I think this is why you got to earn towards the pension. Now, I don't blame teachers. I don't blame anybody for getting what is available through your job. They don't pay into Social Security, so they're earning towards a pension that's funded by the state. But I think my guess, Adam, that you would agree is that, you know, when these pensions were set up, we were living 10, 15, 20 years after we retired, not 40 to 50 years after we retired. And some of the I would assume it was supplemental income after you retired, not meant to, like, I mean, for some people here, you've got lots of people in the state of Illinois on a pension earning over $100,000 a year. That can't be, I would think, what was in the idea of let's create a pension system, was it?
So actually in Illinois, K through 12 education outside of the Chicago public schools, our newest data posted at OpenTheBooks.com shows that there are actually 16 retired school superintendents who pocketed last year $300,000 or more in retirement pensions. And the top earner was Lawrence Wiley. He comes out of the Lincoln Way School District in the South Suburbs in the Frankfurt area, New Lenox area. And last year, his pension was $351,000.
So that's, he was a superintendent. He retired. His retirement pay, he's not working anymore, but he is getting $351,000 a year in his pension.
For the rest of his life with a minimum annual kicker. So next year he'll get a minimum of 3% more. If inflation ever kicks up, then he would get even more than a 3% increase. It's called a cost of living increase. So there's 16 retired school superintendents, $300,000 or more. I'm in the Hinsdale area. We've got one of them. She was the fifth most highly compensated in retirement, Mary Curley. She came out of our elementary school district, and she's getting $324,000 for the rest of her life.
Now, I'm going to be, as you know, just for a second here, let's be crude for a second, okay? Here's the deal. Tom, I want you to remember this and tell my kids, if I ever have a $350,000 a year pension, take 1 year's worth of it, buy whatever equipment is available to just keep me gestating forever, alive, brain matter, whatever it is, because if I could live to 120, I can support my great-great-great-grandkids through college. Just, you know, just keep the beat going here so the checks get going. I mean, think about that, $350,000.
Well, it's absolutely incredible. And look, there's going to be a lot more six-figure public pensions in Illinois very quickly. We forecast that over the course of the next 2 years, there's going to be 20,000 six-figure public public pensions just in the Illinois K-12 system outside of Chicago. Right now, we're showing 15,500 K-12 educators retired on a six-figure pension. And to put that in perspective, there's another roughly 25,000 Illinois educators that are earning salaries north of $100,000. All told, there's 40,000 educators in Illinois making six figures outside of Chicago, except 15,000 of them are retired. And in a couple of years, that number is rising to 20,000 retired educators on six-figure pensions.
Adam Andrzejewski is the CEO and founder of OpenTheBooks.com. They filed over 40,000 Freedom of Information requests. Is that in the life? Hold on 1 second, Adam. We got to take a quick break. Let's talk about this though a little bit more, because I get paying teachers well for what they do, but the formula they come up with then for the pension is negotiated very well by the union, I would say. Let's talk about what are the fixes. Can Illinois sustain this? Clearly, we can't. We're already broke. We're raising taxes. Bailouts can't be big enough. And even if somebody came and bailed us out, oh, you guys are so far behind in these pensions, we'll bail you out. That, I imagine, if we're going to keep going like this, that means we'll just need a bailout again at some point. We can't possibly put enough money in to keep up with this. Let's talk about that next here. 720 WGN. We're speaking with Adam Angievsky. OpenTheBooks.com is the website where they try to track down all this information. And Adam, I don't want to sound at all like I'm anti-teacher or anti-union, because I'm not. They should fight for what they can get. The problem is, it's kind of a broken system. It's broken in their favor in this way, for sure, but the state needs to correct it. And overpaying for retirees is one thing. $350,000 a year seems insane. Whatever they were doing, they weren't carrying kids out of burning buildings all day long. You retire at $100,000 a year, and you get to earn $100,000 a year as a teacher. I'm not going to say anybody shouldn't make that. I'm not going to argue against that at all. But there's no way the state can possibly afford to pay people that for the rest of their lives, when now we're living 30, 40, 50 years after we retire. It's just never going to be manageable, would it?
Well, it's not manageable. If you take a look at the numbers, and I cite Moody's on this. Moody's just came out with the analysis of the unfunded pension liabilities amongst our 677 retirement systems in the state. To put that in contrast, Wisconsin has four. So it's very easy to double dip the systems in Illinois, because we have nearly 700 of them. And Moody says we're unfunded to the tune of $317 billion. That's a third of a trillion dollars that we owe in unfunded pension liabilities, because the politicians in Illinois have promised so much and they haven't funded it, nor was there any hope ever to fund it. So let's put this in perspective and what it means to a family of four. Your share of the Illinois unfunded pension liability is nearly $100,000. That's just to make our pension solvent. And the average household income in Illinois is only $64,000. So we owe more. A family of four owes more. A year and a half worth of full income just to fund the pensions. That's never happening. This thing's a house of cards. It's unsustainable.
Well, let me ask you, Adam. So if Bill Gates says, you know, I'm going through a tough time right now, let me give you $317 billion and take care of that. We said, that's great. Thank you. We wipe the slate clean. Where are we at a year from now? Because
building back unfunded pension liabilities.
We'd go right back up, right? It's not like we just got in the hole and, hey, we need some help. It's a hole that will get deeper and deeper and deeper no matter how much cement you pour into it.
And I want to go through some of the reasons as why. You got Edward Mansfield in Homewood Flossmoor. He's the superintendent in that district, and last year he made $421,000. You got Gregory Jackson in the very poor community of Ford Heights, where 94% of the student body is under the poverty level. He was the second most highly compensated Illinois educator last year.
All right,
in
so,
the entire system.
So there's
$370,000. That's a moral outrage.
There's a bunch of people making a lot, and I'm not going to blame them, because that was available to them, and so they played the system right, or they got the right job and they did whatever. How does the state fix it? How do we stop this? Eventually, you know, I know that like Mitch McConnell's calling for states to just go bankrupt, which I'm guessing would mean we'd try to just erase all of our pensions, which is going to kill a lot of families if we do that. So that's not a great solution. Moving forward, let's say somebody does give us $317 billion, we get out of that hole. How should they reform things so we don't go back to it? My thought all along is states have to move to just like private sector. We need to move to a matching 401k or a 401k system that allows you to work towards your retirement and plan your retirement, not the state to say we'll carry that burden no matter how long you live.
That's one of the three prongs, Matt, that needs to happen. Here's the first two. Number one, the teachers' unions can't have an unfair advantage. Right now they can strike and hold the kids hostage, the students hostage in the classroom. That creates an unfair advantage. School boards always cave to higher, pay pensions and perks. So that thing needs to change. Illinois is only one of 17 states allowing teachers to strike. We need to curtail that. Number two, we need to put hard caps on property taxes. K-12 education outside of Chicago is funded through property taxes. Nobody's happy with their property tax bill, so slap a hard cap on it. Everything under the cap, all pay pensions, perks have to go under the cap, and you have to bring back the retirement pensions from the state to the local school districts. Right now, the local school districts can confer all kinds of pay, which spikes off the pensions, and state taxpayers have to pick up the tab on funding those pensions. So bring it back local. Those two things, plus your idea of giving teachers a private sector option, those three things over the course of time can help make the system solvent.
All right, Adam, let me ask you, though, if you make everything local, doesn't that mean that districts that don't have the resources from property tax, lower income districts, are going to be at a disadvantage in trying to hire teachers?
Well, right. I didn't say bring all funding local. Districts like Fort Heights are still going to depend on federal funding, state funding, because they don't have that property tax base.
Okay.
What we are saying is that when the local school board makes decisions on conferring pay and perks, that they're also responsible for funding the pensions, those three things.
So explain to me what that would mean. How would they be able to use federal funds and state funds, but they'd still have some restrictions to them?
Right. So, I mean, right now the federal, state, and local funds comprise their operating revenues, their budgets. And so within their budget, they would also have to fund the retirement pension.
So would that? So I guess I'm not quite grasping how that would affect different places. Would everybody still be on a relatively level playing field?
So it would be the same playing field as today. So today there's three sources to the funding budget: state, local, state, and federal. And that situation would continue into the future. However, local districts would be on the hook for funding the pension plans. Right now, they're not on the hook for funding the pension plans. They're offloading that to the state.
Okay. So let's jump real quick over to one of the other issues that you point out in the article is double dipping. So like Mayor Daley, who served as mayor of Chicago, but was also a state senator, he's getting a lot in two different pensions, total $238,000 a year. And there's a former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar, Republican, who was well-loved, right? General Assembly, he's getting $181,000 a year from his time in that. University Retirement System pension, $85,000 after he retired from the University of Illinois, which he was hired back part-time for $62,000 a year. He made $329,000 last year. So he's dipping in all sorts of ways, right?
Yeah, Jim Edgar, as you know, he's one of the Illinois governors who never went to jail. But when he retired as governor of Illinois, he landed in pension heaven. So he's getting that $182,000 from his stint as a 20-year member of the General Assembly plus governor. He then left the General Assembly. He got hired as a professor at the University of Illinois. He retired on a second pension after 20 years there, and that pension's $85,000. Then he got rehired by the University of Illinois Foundation as a fellow. That salary's another $62,000. All told, Edgar's making a lot of money. Edgar's making almost $330,000 a year.
You estimated that he's earned in compensation from the University of Illinois from 2000 to 2013, $2.4 million, and he's made another $2.2 million in pensions already paid out from his lifetime in public service. You know, they say you're not going to get... I never understand, like, all these politicians that are going in these jobs at $200,000, $400,000 a year when they could be lawyers and make all this money, but I guess it's this guaranteed afterlife that is kind of a nice perk, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and you mentioned Mayor Daley, and he double dips the system as well to the total of about $240,000 a year. So he's got a $154,000 a year pension from his 8-year stint as a lawmaker, plus some pension spiking tricks, and then he's got a pension after 22 years as mayor of Chicago of about $84,000. All told, Daley's got the two pensions for $240,000.
Couldn't we pass a law that you can only achieve one pension, one state pension?
Well, yes, there needs to be reform. As I mentioned earlier, Wisconsin, it's very hard to double dip systems. They only have four systems total. Illinois has 677 systems, so you can dip in and out of them. And over 20,000 Illinois public employees get more than one pension. They double dip the system.
It's crazy. So $317 billion now is what we're down. Let's say 5 years from now, the rate we're going, do you know what that number would be at?
Say the question again.
So right now we're in the hole about $317 billion, but it's growing every year. It's not like we leveled out at that.
To put that in perspective, Matt, the 2 years ago, Moody's estimated our unfunded pension liability was $251 billion. 2 years later, now they estimate it at $317 billion. The number's not moving in the right direction, and we're rapidly deteriorating.
Yeah, and that was only in 2 years. And you said many, many more people are going to hit that system in the next 5 years, right?
Well, right now, Illinois has over 122,000 public employees earning six figures, either in retirement or in current salary. The entire state of Florida has only 80,000 six-figure public employees or retirees. So, and Florida is much bigger than Illinois. It's I think it has 20 million people. Illinois has 13 million people. And so you can see that the heavy boot of government in Florida is a lot lighter than what it is in Illinois.
Well, Florida is a lot bigger because all these people with these fat pensions from Illinois are moving down there. Soak it up. Adam Andrzejewski is the CEO and founder of OpenTheBooks.com. Go to OpenTheBooks.com, see a lot more. Thank you so much for jumping on tonight. We appreciate it.